The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Kristen and Andrea Show.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Here on WWDB Talk 860, we're sponsored by Weinemann and Pain and Wellness. We've got a fantastic show. Andrea, how are you? I'm going to go to you first since, you know, we switched the name up every month. This is a three-year show. Fantastic broadcast. Really, I roll with it, whoever's here first. How are you, by the way?
I wasn't here first, but I'm great. How are you?
I cannot complain.
Thank you for getting me the credit for being here first.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, we're a tight-knit group here.
One for five, Buttle. Great job.
Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic. I cannot complain. Alexis Crandall is in the house from Weinemann Pain and Wellness. How are you, Alexis?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Can't complain. Now, we have a great group of attorneys, a couple great guests on the program, Mark Schmidt and Vassil Karafidis of Schmidt, Karafidis, and Rassius. Did I get that right?
Absolutely perfect.
You nailed that.
Been working on it all night long. By the way, Mark is no rookie to the broadcast. He's been on a lot lately. So it's great to have you back, my friend.
Happy to be back, especially with my good friend, Kristen.
How about that?
I'm very excited.
Now, I listen, Mark and Vassil, you guys have had fantastic careers, great law firm, and we're going to talk all about that, but every month Kristen says she taught you both everything that you know. Now, what's up with that, for crying out?
Well, we know that's not true. No. Thank you. I paid him to say that.
That's right. And you didn't pay me in cash, and I need the cash.
But what is true is we wouldn't be here today without her. So you could put it that way.
It is a good point in this studio. awesome to have everybody here. We usually start off talking some sports. Normally, just so everybody knows, I can't do it. Alexis gets a little crazy. She starts throwing F-bombs all over the place. The FCC's in here. That's if the Eagles lost, but they didn't, thankfully. Am I right?
Absolutely.
She's quiet now.
I think I got some good news on the Giants just now.
Yeah, they disbanded and they're moving to the Canadian football.
They're selling their organization for parts. That they're not going to start.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, and that they're going to start Tommy Cutlets.
Oh, Tommy Cutlets.
Yes, let's get some Italian inspiration.
The old man is up there.
So Mark and Vaz, Andrea is the only Giants fan in the room because she's allowed to be. She grew up in North Jersey. So.
Probably the building. FYI.
You know what's interesting? We have a lot of fun talking about this stuff, but I haven't seen Daniel Jones a lot, okay? Over the last couple of years, but I did see him obviously against the Eagles. And when I was watching, I mean, obviously recently my issue was not Daniel Jones. It was the offensive line
always
that the Giants have. And so, of course, the two words that no Giants fan wants to hear, right? Saquon Barkley.
I don't care because we would have been wasting our money on him.
No. That 100%.
Right.
What I'm saying is it wasn't the wrong move completely.
No.
Because their offensive line, although they did build, they did get some new players, isn't where it needs to be. So maybe, they did the right thing there. But we talked about it before. Anybody see the the special?
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Oh, Hard Knocks
with
the Giants. And,
the takes from that are just incredible.
You really thought they had a method. You really thought that they were doing something, like they were advanced at this. And instead it's like, it's our first day. Like, offensive line, what? We can't add just one player a year and do well?
Right.
They really had me believing it after the show.
Oh, well, at the same time, you could imagine, first of all, the Giants have a rich history. They've won four Super Bowls, and we have one. But having one Super Bowl is like having one kid. You still got a family there, brother, I needed that as much as I needed air. But you've had some rich history.
We don't have to yell every week about the Giants. I'm sorry.
I mean, it is,
And you still get to see Eli on commercials and his podcast.
Well, that's my point. So you got Eli and Saquon Barkley.
How about Peyton, the new Peyton commercial where he's like, I'm also painting.
He's painting. Yeah.
So clever.
What I love about the reason why these two have such a great show, okay, is the segue ability. Did you see how she segued away from the Giants there? Now we're talking about Peyton. It was very clever.
Just like we're in court. Judge, that's not a fact we want to talk about.
Do we really want to talk about that? I don't think so.
Let's just talk about the damages. Who cares about the negligence?
But look, you know, I certainly, you know, this, we're doing pretty good. And one step at a time. You know, obviously, last year it was painful, you know, like literally. We were 10-1, and I remember my wife's best friend is her, you know, our hairstylist, and she's one of my best friends too. And I'm sitting in the chair, and she's going, "We're 10-1. How can you be upset?" I'm going, "Well, either we're so good that we don't have to start until the fourth quarter, or we got major problems," and we had major problems. So I mean,
to say the least,
it feels good. It feels good right now the way they're building the team.
They're going in the right direction, whereas last year they went backwards.
You could see something was going to happen. I went to the 49ers game, and holy cow, that's when the world changed. I mean, that was the beginning of the absolute end. So, but let's talk a little bit of law.
Just a tad.
So, Mark, if you will, remind our listeners a little bit about, obviously, yourself and the firm.
Well, sitting next to me is my partner, Vasil Karafidis. We opened up our firm, Schmidt & Karafidis, back in 1997. We've been going ever since. We once had a great associate who's sitting down the end of this table, Kristen. Yeah. And we do largely workers' comp. I'd say probably 95% workers' comp with a little bit of personal injury added on. And that's what we do.
He's being modest. That isn't just what they do. They're like the kings of workers' comp. They're in the book. They've made law. I just have to put that out there.
I'm glad. I heard, before I go to Vas, maybe you can, that you tried to re-sign her, but it was like $70 million, something nuts. And you were like, I mean, this is great, you know.
She was holding out.
She was holding out, wasn't she? I saw it on CNN, I think. I remember that day.
The free agent sweepstakes, we just couldn't keep up.
No, who could? Mother of God. A little bit about yourself and obviously the firm.
Well, the firm has been around since
97.
Since 1997. Two partners. We've been doing workers' comp. We're specialists. We're certified, and we're good at what we do.
In your career path, have you always done workers' comp?
Always. I did a little bit of bankruptcy early on, but then transitioned away from that probably after just a few years. And again, focus has been workers' compensation.
It's amazing because we've talked about it many times. No dabbling in workers' comp. I've had, you know, we've all talked about great personal injury attorneys. Sitting there going, yeah, no, I dabbled in that for about a week, and I got the hell out of it as fast as I could.
We don't dabble. We send to the best.
That's right. And it's an area of the law where, you know, it's got to be a specialist.
Absolutely.
And Vasil mentioned that. He said, we're certified. And what that means is the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania Bar Association realized how complex workers' comp law is, offered the specialist certification program where you have to have a certain number of years of experience, dedicate your practice to it, pass the testing requirements, and that's what every workers' comp attorney in our firm is certified.
And what's interesting about that, you know, when I say dabble, I'm sure it's an area of the law where tons of people, after it happened, if they get injured on the job, call a buddy. If they, you know, or first thing they do is they go to where their employer tells them to go without having any education on those rules, which we'll get into. But some of the things about being a certified workers' compensation attorney in a real work comp firm is, you know, you're looking at workers' comp, but you're also looking for potential third party. Okay, if you get somebody who's dabbling, they're not only likely not to know what the hell's going on with workers' comp, but they likely would think, okay, you know, not to dig too deep to find out that there is a third-party case too. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, and we always have our eyes and ears open for that.
When how often does that you know, occur? You know, when it comes to a potential work comp case,
it depends on the work situation. So if you're working in a factory, it's very unlikely to happen. But if you're a traveling employee, meaning you're going back and forth, or if you're a delivery person, the odds go up.
I've heard of factories, though, for example, who have a piece of machinery where it doesn't have a guard, you know. And I know this. I'll tell you why. Because Andrea Sasso was working on a case. She was at a loss, and she called me, and she said, "What do you think, Joe? I know you're on the air right now on a relationship show." And I said, "Yeah, no. What's the situation?" No, but like I've heard of, you know, where a work comp attorney will see, you know, a lot of people would automatically think because they got their hand stuck in a machine that they were running, okay, that they're in trouble. But, you know, you're also looking at all the factors.
Products liability is a third-party case. If there's a defective product, as Vasil was mentioning, if you're on the road and there's a car accident, the other driver's a third party. Anytime the injury is caused by somebody who is not the employer or a coworker, which we'll talk about in a minute because I'm involved in a Supreme Court case regarding coworker liability. But if it's a true third party, somebody who is not part of the employment relationship, if they're negligent, then you have that separate claim that you can go after.
Right.
Which is in a, go ahead.
You're living in my head because open in my computer right now is that exact case that I am supposed to be working on like a month ago.
Well, you got your priorities right. You're here.
Right, I'm here. but an individual, he lost one of his fingers on his hand operating a machine at a work site where the product, they removed the guard. So it's not just his employer. I actually got the case from a workers' comp attorney who, like the guys at Schmidt-Garafini, would keep their eyes open and say, "Oh, that could be a potential third-party claim. And you're in the best hands with me for your workers' comp case, but I'll send you to Andrea Sasso for the third-party case." And so we're evaluating it to see who was doing the work on that machine, who removed the guard, is there somebody that did maintenance to the machine? So there are all a few potential things there. We're a little early on, but that's exactly how that would work.
And you just said, you know, early on, these investigations, these things happen so quick, you need to get in touch with Mark and Vaz or our firm for the product end of things immediately after you're injured. We tell the listeners that all the time.
Well, and I would wonder if you can only imagine, for example, how many times, you know that'll never, ever, ever go on record because somebody went to the wrong
or just went to their employer
and asked them, "Where should I go?" Right? I wonder how often that piece of machinery is still on the floor 3 days later.
Well, at least we'll get more workers' comp clients out of it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. No, I get. But what I'm saying is, no, but if they go to their employer, they may never get to, because they may fall for the, by the way, it was a pre-existing situation. It was your high school football, an injury in high school football, which, by the way, I have a long-storied career. If you got an hour here, we're going to talk about. I'm sorry. It's not important right now. But
I can tell you that my work at Schmidt-Garafini's, which was like I always say, it was like my home. I was there for so many years. I learned so much. They taught me everything I need to know. But I will tell you, we had so many clients, right, that were coming from factories, that worked in factories, especially out in like Berks County, Vaz, a lot of your clients.
Yep.
And we had a big contingent that they deal with this all the time. They specialize in this. And people don't realize how important it is because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what rights you have unless
But the other end is looking for negligence after the fact. If somebody's getting treatment and a doctor performs some surgery negligent, does something incorrectly, it's not negligence related to the accident itself. There's medical malpractice related to the nature of the treatment. So you got to be looking for that third-party case the entire time.
Yeah, and my point along with those things is the fact that if you don't go to the right workers' compensation attorney, a certified workers' compensation, it's got to be one of the only areas of law, at least in our state, where you have to be certified. Like, in other words, I mean, there may be some other ones, but damn. You know, like, in other words, that they say in a great, we've talked about this, you're not going to a neurologist with a foot injury, right? And that, in a lot of ways, is exactly what you're doing if you're going to, a general practice attorney or somebody who does wills and estates, and they're just a family member, friend of a friend, and they're like, "Yeah, I'll take your work comp case." I mean, the chances of, and we all know this could be a nasty injury that could impact somebody for the rest of their entire life, right?
There are occasions where we will get a referral after somebody started the process and realized they were in over their head. we can only get involved if they didn't go too far into the process and create problems that we can't fix now. So, yeah, when you try to dabble, you might create problems where the case just can't be remedied.
I've had a dabbler story, right, where one, it was a personal injury attorney sitting right where you're at about last 3 months, I guess, where the woman said she had a client come in her office, okay, who said, you know, she was unhappy with her attorney, and she said, am I going to have to pay for the expert again? Okay, my point is, that sounds funny to top pros like yourself, but this girl went to a dabbler in injury law, okay, and ended up paying for the expert.
That's...
I mean, and my point is, how easy is it for somebody who's never been injured before to go to find the wrong, attorney? Yeah. Probably negligence on the attorney's side, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a huge reason why we do this show. It's to spread information to make sure people, our listeners, know, who to reach out to immediately, because that's horrible. let me tell you, nobody in this room, okay, is going to charge a client for the expert. That's just not how it works. We have the resources. Your favorite subject, Joe. What's your favorite subject?
I like talking about the Eagles. I love ice cream. It's my favorite. Go ahead, Alexis Crandall. What's my favorite topic? Just tell them. Tell the world.
The contingency fee.
That's right.
Right. So pursuant to the contingency fee agreement, nobody in this room is ever going to ask a client for money to be paid for, the bill. That's just not how it works.
So let's do this. Since we started with our fantastic guests, how about our hosts and our sponsor remind our listeners, let's just say they've been on a desert island under a rock for the last 2-3 years. Okay.
I paid him to say all of this today.
Alexis Crandall, a little bit about Weinerman Pain and Wellness and yourself.
Yeah, so I'm the director of marketing for Weinerman Pain and Wellness. We handle physical therapy, chiropractic care, pain management, and then we just added a psychologist onto our board members, I should say.
And
having team of doctors.
And have a little bit about Dr. Weinerman, if you would.
Yeah, so he's been in practice for over 40 years. He's loves being a doctor. He's almost 73 years old.
Wonderful man.
So
nice.
Yeah, such a wonderful guy. Spends a ton of time with the patients. I would say over an hour and a half for initial. And then for the follow-ups, it's about 45 minutes. His reports are phenomenal, in my opinion. And I think...
Very thorough. Yeah. He's such a good doctor.
And you're treating, first of all, as we all know... and it's confusing to me on why you can't go to your family doctor or just anybody when it comes to medical. It's confusing to somebody who gets injured, probably goes to their doctor and finds out, oh, you can't treat me. I've known you since I was 6 years old. It's a specialist type situation when it comes to work comp and personal injury. Why, by the way?
Employers and insurance companies want to get control of the situation. They want to limit their risk and their cost. So a lot of employers have what's called a panel physician list, where there are certain rules required for the list to be valid, and they can control your treatment for 90 days if they do it properly. But there are so many rules and requirements that if the client comes to a firm like us, we could find a loophole to take them out of that system.
I heard it's like at a 95% that you either don't get the panel acknowledgement letter when you sign up for your employer, or you certainly don't get it when you get injured, and they have to have a panel list of doctors, correct?
Right, and it has to be posted at a conspicuous place on the employer's premises, and then it needs to have the type of doctor or specialist that you need. So if they don't have a chiropractor on that list, we can send them over to Weinerman because they need a chiropractor, but they don't have a choice of one, so we can send them over there.
Alexis, transportation?
Yeah, so we offer transportation. We do Uber Health for all clients, for all appointments, along with like specialty appointments. So if they were referred to, let's say, a neuro or an ortho, we do the Uber for that as well. For people who prefer public transportation, we do SEPTA passes, and then we also validate parking.
Communications with doctors, and also when it comes to depositions and testifying on behalf of the client, which is also evidently a big part of this industry.
Yeah, so both doctors do depositions, and then I am the main contact of the practice. Anything you need, you can text, call. I'm available 24 hours a day.
Fantastic. And I will tell you this, and this is no joke, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, she's
don't go that far.
I have to sleep. She prefers it. Like the other day, I was reading the sports section, and I thought, oh, my God, it didn't show how many yards Hurts threw for. I call Alexa. She was bright and bushy-tailed. She's like, oh, I'm glad you called me. It's only 3:30 in the morning. Ladies, if you will, a little bit about yourselves and Stampone, O'Brien, Dilsheimer, and...
And Holloway.
And Holloway,
of course, yes. Okay. we run the gamut of personal injury, catastrophic injury, wrongful death, medical malpractice, product liability. I feel like we have a very good social media presence at this point, so people can take a look at our social media as well as our website to see the amazing results that we've gotten for our clients recently in the past few years. I'm very, very proud of the work that we've done.
Andrea Sasso?
Just to add, what Kristen was saying, we do civil rights cases.
Yeah.
And even our team just 2 weeks ago got a settlement. They were on trial. They did a week of trial. It was an injury that happened with a photographer at a concert at the Phillies Park.
Yeah, Citizens Bank.
And when I tell you that there's just, you know, two or three of us and 21 lawyers on the other side and our partner, Kevin O'Brien, along with Tyler Sampone and Brock Atkins, by the end of 5 days of trial, they, you know, said to the insurance company, try us. They settled for $18 million. So,
a second here. Guess who's buying lunch today?
Well, that's not our case. I'm not even sure of who I know that it was a product
case.
You get
Tyler on this phone.
There was some products manufacturers involved. There were some concert promoters involved.
It was an amazing result.
There was some other defendants involved. But out of all of that, the gentleman, unfortunately, almost lost his leg. He can still walk, but he can't photograph events like he used to because you have to be mobile for that kind of stuff. So just a testament to our firm, what we're working on this month.
Fantastic. And the firm's been around decades. And so I was going to ask the two partners here, what's the secret sauce to the success of the firm and the partnership and working together for this many years?
Old married couple.
We are. We finish each other's thoughts. And we have been partners based on a handshake. There's no written agreement. We are brothers.
I mean, that is it's phenomenal. And having a partnership, I've been in a couple, not in this area, but damn, having somebody who's got your back, somebody, you know, the trust level and you know, all those things. It's like a marriage. Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you?
We're with each other more than we're with our wives. When you take into account the amount of time you would be home sleeping,
probably
we're awake and together.
That's probably a big secret, Dev. If you're working remote, I can tell you.
We have different strengths and weaknesses, so you complement each other.
Yeah.
So as long as you understand and you don't overstep, it all works.
And the communication is obviously and being passionate about, obviously, you know, the clients. Talk about the culture at the firm and what clients can expect.
Well, I think what the clients expect is for the attorneys to listen. That's the number one. To understand what their plight is and to be sympathetic and to help them navigate a maze that they've never been through. So you have to understand that for them, this is new, this is scary. You put them at ease, and as you put them through at ease and you navigate them, they get more and more confidence and ends up being a good result.
No question about it. I mean, you've had staff, you've been around since 1993, okay? And Kristen Buttle talks about is, you know,
taught me everything. They really did. They taught me everything.
And that's a big deal. Like, in other words, you have a team atmosphere. How many team members?
4 attorneys and 4 support staff.
Okay. And, you know, they've been there roughly, you know, 5, 10, 15 years?
My own assistant has been with me over 20, probably close to 25 years.
Wow. Shout out to Brandy.
You met my son the last time I was here. Yep. He just recently started with the firm. He's doing all of our social media work, as Kristen mentioned.
Oh, that's great.
And Kristen
knows
him very
well. Shout out to Nick.
Well.
Yeah, yep. That's
Nick,
great.
By the way, yeah, Nick's been on a couple of shows.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Andrea Sasso's had 7 assistants in the last 2 days. They just can't get, it's just nuts.
At work or personally?
You're fired. I told you I wanted a Diet Coke, not Diet Pepsi. Does it look like Diet Coke?
Nobody wants that job.
They
definitely have a family atmosphere over there. Yeah. I know their kids. Yeah. You know, like Mark just said, I know Vaz's kids are wonderful kids. I've seen them grow up. It's so crazy. It really is. Family.
And that family atmosphere is what the clients can expect.
Right. And it's the feeling when you come in that you know it's not just a business. We're not treating you like just a file. We actually care about your frustration, your pain, your inability to pay your bills. We get it. We understand. And we show them that we understand.
So in a sense, all the entities in this room can work together at one time. Okay. And you talk about that communication. Okay. So clients, the biggest complaint from a client, you know, if you look at the internet, is always the communication if they have with their attorneys or their medical providers. In this case, obviously, we're fortunate enough to have the best, and that's always a priority. But talk about when you have a referral source or when you have a medical situation, the importance not only of communicating with the client, but being able to communicate back and forth, because these cases are sensitive enough that if you don't have your referral sources have to be almost an extension of your own firm, because otherwise that case on behalf of the client can get screwed up. And by the way, when it comes to the medical, you're also, I can't tell you how many thousands of times I've heard people sit there and go, I'm trying to call this particular doctor, I can't get a report, for crying out loud. Talk about the professional communication, having to be as important as that with the client.
There's something called subrogation, which means a person that might have 2 claims for 1 accident can't double dip. So they may get workers' comp benefits and they could sue the driver of the car who hit them. Workers' comp, the insurance company, has a right to get money back out of that other lawsuit. If the 2 attorneys are not working together hand in hand, but they're maximizing their own individual part of the case just to maximize their share of the fee, they may not be maximizing what goes in the client's pocket at the end of the case. We work very closely with Kristen or any other firm that we may have a case in common with to make sure that we're getting the best result for the client, not the best result for one firm versus the other firm.
And I have to say how important that is. Speaking from personal experience with other firms.
First of all,
there
are no other firms. The only firms I know of are these 2 firms.
I've had personal experiences where that exact situation that Mark just gave, because that situation, he gave that specific example for a reason. It happens every day, right?
All the time.
All the time.
When
every
some attorneys
case.
Are focused on paying for their bills or paying their marketing budget, they're not looking out for the client.
And I can tell you that Mark and Basil are the complete opposite of that. And I can just give you an example that me and Andrea have had. Well, it was Andrea's client. She had some, workers' comp issues with a client. I can pick up the phone and call Mark and Vaz, and they are literally there as a resource because they care about the client. They care about, answering. You know, they don't treat their clients as just a number. They're not a mill. Their clients are people. They listen. And the communication with other attorneys and actually doing what they say they're going to do and not just dismissing you, oh, well, we're going forward with a compromise and release tomorrow, whether you like it or not. I mean, that has happened to me with other firms in the city, and Mark and Basil are the exact opposite of that.
It's interesting. When it comes to records and all those things and working with in a professional relationship with an attorney, talk about what a priority that is at Weinemann.
I mean, it has to be a priority. If you're not, the way this business moves is it's so quick. So like I've seen prior to me being in this position, if you receive a referral and they're not scheduled within a certain amount of time, they'll go somewhere else. I mean,
and medical records also.
Yeah, that's super important as well.
It seems nuts to think that if you want business from an attorney and you're a medical provider, that you're not going to immediately. But we've all heard the crazy.
You have to move quick.
I have a question for you, and we're going to get into the cases because we're going to. Mark's it got a couple cases that are really important that we're going to talk about that have to do with the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. Yes. But what happens? I know it's had to happen. I've never talked to either one of you about it, but you get a case, okay, and you are going to depend on the personal injury firm, okay? You didn't pick them, okay? Or, you're going to depend on the work comp firm. You didn't pick them, okay? But you're not getting that communication back and forth. And you know, and maybe it's a dabbler. Who knows? How do you handle that situation and without going, I don't know who you picked for calling the client. I know you wouldn't do that. But my point is, how do you deal with that situation where you are not getting communications from either the PI firm in the third party case or the medical provider?
It's persistence with professionalism, because you don't want to burn that bridge for down the road when you need them on the next case and something happens. But you just have to stay on top of it. You can't just make that phone call and wait until the next hearing scheduled. You got to stay on top of everything. Every case, all the time, you just have to stay on top of it.
Okay, now I know why you hired Big Nick. Big Nick's going to be paying him a visit, right? Stopping over to the PI firm and going, I'm going to make you an offer.
He's done that. He has literally, after getting off the phone, got in the car, drive to the doctor's office and say, I'll wait here. You can make the copies. I'll wait here for them. Basil's done it. I've done it on occasion we actually have to go there to show them how important this is.
That's why it's so important to have somebody like Dr. Weinerman's office, who will very easily get us the medical records. Like, hey, listen, we need this report from this visit. We need to show proof, especially in the workers' comp arena. I know, guys, right? When you have to show proof immediately at a supersedious hearing, for example, right? You have to have that. Having records quickly is very, very important. Or how about, we have a statute coming up and the client had to get surgery, so we weren't able to, file the lawsuit early, but we wanted to see how it was going to pan out in terms of getting into, we're working with the adjuster in negotiating. Well, we might need a record on the dime. That's why it's important that we have, and we're thankful to have providers like Dr. Weinerman's office.
And we all know, look, regular doctor's offices, you have the flu and you want to go see your primary care doctor, and they said, we have an appointment for you in 3 months, but I'm sick today. And so it's even more important when you're not going to get a paycheck every week, your job is on the line, you're hurt at work, that you have somebody available that will work with us and our clients to get them seen right away. And with a doctor, not just, here's a physical therapist, a doctor.
Yeah, or even
physician's
just a chiro.
Yeah. I just had that story with an iron worker who called us. Let's talk about these. That's a great conversation, not only relevant, but we're sitting there talking to people who in the case that it happens or they have a family member, they should have this information. Okay, Mark. You got two cases we're going to talk about that you guys are handling right now. Let's talk about the first one that we talked about before that has to do with yourself.
Oh, the first one is called Schmidt versus Schmidt, Hirafetis and Rassius.
Oh, I could see it now, man. I knew it.
Yeah.
This is going bad. Listen.
I was there.
Chris did in the middle of that piece. Talk about that.
Well, back in 2017, lifting my trial bag, I had pre-existing back injuries, quite a number of them. Lifting my trial bag, I aggravated my back injury. I've been on strong medication for the pain for years, and talking to my doctor to try to avoid that, avoid increasing doses, but enabling me to keep working. We tried something creative to use CBD oil.
Sure.
I then submitted the bills or the receipts to the insurance company for reimbursement.
And because it's such an economical situation, they picked it up right away.
Of course. Insurance companies always are looking out for the best interest of the person.
They're your best friend.
That's sarcasm, by the way. It makes too much sense.
Right. So they denied it because it is not a prescription pharmaceutical drug.
And you can get addicted to, and it'll cost 10 times more.
Exactly. So that case has advanced so far that later this week, on Wednesday, we are presenting oral argument in front of the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania on the issue of whether injured workers are entitled to reimbursement for out-of-pocket cost for types of medicines and supplies that do not require a prescription. And you would think it's common sense that if it's medicines and supplies, it should be covered by workers' compensation. But up until 2024, there has been no law on this issue.
Can't imagine why. You know, I mean, literally, you said it makes too much common sense. Your thoughts, Vassal?
Well, you got to qualify it first. Is he answering as my friend and my colleague, or is he answering as the employer, the evil employer who is fighting me in this case?
By the way, are you talking as the evil employer? What is going on?
Well, it's funny because when I argued the case in front of the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania, when I walked up to the podium for oral argument, a couple of the judges looked at me like, who are you here for? And I said, I'm the claimant. I'm the claimant's lawyer. I'm the employer, but I'm not the insurance company's lawyer. That's this other gentleman's job. But I was everybody else.
It's amazing.
I know. And I'd just like to point out for our listeners, I don't think you want, I want everybody to know that not every lawyer is going to, Mark doesn't just do, isn't just doing this for his own case, by the way. That's very important. He goes to, he argues in front of the Supreme Court quite often. Probably, honestly, I don't know any other attorney that's done that more than you, I don't think. Personally, like on a personal level, maybe one or two, but I need the listeners to understand that's how hard Mark and Vaz fight for their clients. It's not just, they're not just trying to settle the case shorthanded just to you know, get money back in their pocket. They're literally changing law to help their clients. And Mark just happens to be doing it through his own active workers' comp case.
Well, that, by the way, that,
not
that,
just their clients, but those, the potential injured workers out there, all of them.
By the way, that is one of the biggest things that, that injury attorneys do, not only seek justice for their clients, but also change happens in the courtroom.
That's right.
Okay, so that's what's going on right now.
The court has to interpret every law. So the law is on the books, but how do you interpret it? And the lawyer's job is to argue it so that the interpretation is favorable, not just for this individual case, but for all injured clients. In fact, one of the items of evidence was an email that I sent to the defense attorney saying, I'm not just doing this for my case. I'm doing this for all my future clients. And he introduced that as evidence, thinking that was a bad thing. And as we were both leaving the podium from the Commonwealth Court, one of the judges said, Mr. Schmidt. And I turned around and looked, and she said, we want to thank you for doing this for everybody.
Hmm. How about
See?
That?
Yeah, I mean, what they thought was a bad thing, the court saw as a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that really, that says what you guys do every day.
Well, the caliber of lawyering that happens at that firm.
So what is the status? Like you said, you're coming up to, you're in front of the Supreme Court.
Right, so on Wednesday. Commonwealth Court ruled in favor of the injured worker, so that non-prescription items are entitled to reimbursement if you follow certain rules. So an injured worker can't just go into CVS or Giant and pick up things they think are going to help. You have to talk it over with your doctor. It has to be part of the treatment plan to prove that it wasn't an impulse purchase, which I did. I set all that up. If it's part of the treatment plan, you then submit the receipts for the reimbursement. Defendant has continued to appeal that decision, and we've already briefed it. The written briefs are in. This is more for the Supreme Court justices to ask each lawyer questions to get to the bottom of what's on their mind
the case. What type of hearing is it?
It's oral argument.
Oral argument?
No, this is oral argument in front of the en banc panel of the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. When do you believe it will come to fruition?
I would expect a decision is probably still going to take about another 6 months or so. I wouldn't expect it before June.
Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, amazing. You know, we'll be doing Good a show luck. On that. But we also appreciate what you're doing for people who aren't even hurt yet. I mean, in other words, they don't even know. You know, that's one of the other things the Trial Lawyers Association does. You're fighting for legislation and for situations for people that don't even know you're doing it. And if you know, then that's important because coming from labor, that's what we do. So in other words, we're constantly, you know, lobbying and doing all those things to make sure that, you know, our collective bargaining, you know, rights are still there for our members. Let's talk about the second case.
The second case is not a case that is in our firm. Myself and our other partner, George Rassius, are members of the Pennsylvania Association for Justice, which was previously the Pennsylvania Trial Lawyers Association that you just referenced.
Which me and Andrew are also members of.
Exactly.
You told me you run that stuff.
Well, I mean, we run the parties. Just kidding.
Social events.
George and I are on the other side of things. We write the briefs. So basically, when there's an issue of extreme importance, not just to the parties in that individual case, the attorneys can come to the Pennsylvania Association for Justice and ask for what's called amicus curiae brief, so that the association submits their brief in further support to compound the argument, to show how important it is for injured workers. I just became a member of the amicus curiae brief committee this summer and got my first assignment. And it is an issue that overlaps personal injury law and workers' compensation, whether or not an individual who was hurt at work can sue a coworker who was negligent while not at work.
Okay. While not at work. So if somebody comes in and they, for example, have narcotics, they've taken or they're drinking alcohol and they come in and they cause them. What kind of situation?
Let's take
I can't even think of an example.
Yeah, okay. Let's take an example of somebody who's on the clock running an errand for their employer. They're doing a job to go pick up supplies for the employer.
Yeah.
Someone who is a coworker is not scheduled to work that day. Obviously, he lives in the area because they work at the same company. He's driving his own car for his own reasons and slams into the plaintiff who is working.
Just a terrible sense of irony. Is that what you're talking about?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if the coworker is negligent and causes an injury to somebody who is working, but that coworker was not working that day, do they have immunity under the Workers' Comp Act, because you can't sue your employer for negligence? All you get is workers' comp. If a co-employee is negligent while working side by side with you, you can't sue them for negligence. They have immunity. This case involves suing a co-employee who is not on the clock. And what does the court take into consideration? The underlying decision was that that co-employee must be in the course of their employment at the time of the negligent act in order to be immune from another lawsuit. But there is case law going back to 1971 that the defendant is relying on, saying co-employees are immune. You cannot sue co-employees even if they're off the clock. If the injured worker is entitled to workers' comp and the defendant is a co-employee at some time, they are immune. My brief argues a number of factors. Number one, that case from the 1970s is dicta, which means part of a decision that is not binding. It's just a discussion, but it wasn't relevant to the conclusion. That outcome is also inconsistent with personal injury law because the negligent actor who was not at work escapes liability, and the non-negligent employer becomes liable for the injuries, and there's no subrogation involved, which we talked about earlier, that you can't double dip in a case. Now the negligent employer is the one footing the bill for the negligence of somebody else.
Now, does that include actually suing that employer? Not employer, I'm sorry.
The driver. The
employee. So you suing the employer and the employee that just hit you who wasn't in work?
Well, you're getting workers' comp from your employer, and you're bringing that personal injury claim against the defendant as if they were not a co-employee. So whether you're going after their motor vehicle insurance, whether they have a business on the side and they're working for that side business at the time, they stand in the shoes of a third party, not as a co-employee, okay, when they are not in the course of their employment.
So I do have a scenario that I can actually think of, okay? How about this? How about two employees are arguing in work? One gets suspended. He's getting suspended. He's out or she's out. Okay. The other employee has to go on a run. Okay. You know, he's driving, you know, they pick up equipment or whatever. The other employee on the next day, the employees that have been given the day off is waiting outside the gate, and he wants to take a shot at the other employee, and assaults him.
Well, that's an intentional tort.
No, it isn't. There's no such thing. I just made that. Did you like that? Did you like that? I went at it. But I'm just, okay, so I just.
It's a little bit different, but we have a.
Listen, who went to law school here, me or you? Did you go to community college for a semester? I don't think so.
There's a reason that Mark is on this committee because us can't even, as lawyers, that's what I said before, like it's hard to even come up with an example, but when it comes up, what it stands for in the greater sense is a big deal because we don't want to limit the right to sue a negligent driver, but we don't want, I think, to put more on the employer than necessary because that employer payment then wipes out our ability to go after the negligent drivers.
And
is that right?
The reason why it's important to so many of the entities involved in the case, you have it right. Yes, okay. You have it right. Basically,
so she's right and I'm wrong. Wow, this is a bunch of crap.
This is a great show.
If a person gets workers' comp, there's no pain and suffering in workers' comp. You get your lost wages and you get your medical bills paid.
Right.
If those injuries were caused by somebody who was negligent, in a negligence claim, you can get pain and suffering.
Right.
So if the person who is injured while working gets workers' comp, they're limited to just workers' comp benefits. They can't get those extra pain and suffering benefits. If the negligent person was not at work at the time, the injured person should have a right to sue them for the pain and suffering. Their employer or the employer's insurance company will get a portion of their payments back through subrogation. But the injured person is now made whole because they got their lost wages, their medical bills, and the pain and suffering. The non-negligent employer didn't do anything wrong. They just happened to be the employer.
Yeah.
They're not footing the bill for the negligent person's actions, and the negligent person doesn't just escape scot-free. Hey, I'm negligent, but I'm a co-employee. So that's where it all ties together.
And it all makes sense, right? Like you would think that the law would err on the side of common sense. Yeah, why would
for
you
the
escape
victim.
For the victim and for the employer? Like for once, we're on the same side as the employer on this argument, right?
Exactly.
Right.
That's for part once. Of the argument.
But I have to point out, like, you know, the fact that Mark is on
What's
this
the name
committee?
Of the committee again?
The Pennsylvania Association for Justice Amicus Curiae Committee.
I'm gonna learn how to spell that.
I want everybody to understand what that means. That means that Mark is taking the time out of his day where he's not only working and arguing case law in front of the Supreme Court for the benefit of his clients and other injured victims in the future. When you're writing an amicus brief or amicus brief, what you're doing is you're supporting PAJ, Pennsylvania Association for Justice. What you're doing is you're supporting future victims and trying to make sure that the case law and that the law going forward helps those victims in the future. For people, it could be 20, 30, 50 years in the future. And he's taking the time out of his day to do that. So again, I'm just pointing out the caliber of lawyering that's happening at this firm and that we're lucky to have lawyers
and Joe,
like Mark and Baz.
Sorry. The examples that we give, what Kristen and I are heavily involved with PAJ as well, and we work, the example we usually give here on the show is about raising the auto limits, the minimum automobile limits, which have not been increased since 1972, and they are $15,000 per accident. I got a call from a new client today. She was a pedestrian. She doesn't own a car, crossing the street. She gets hit by a hit-and-run vehicle. I said, great. The good news is there's this plan, this uninsured motorist fund. I can get you $15,000. That's the bad news. That's all I can get you. And you probably already have exceeded that value because you have a broken ankle, you can't go to work, et cetera, et cetera. But these are the limits that they established were fair in 1972. And we continue to fundraise, volunteer. People are writing briefs. And we try to influence the Harrisburg legislation to change these types of things. And this is, you know, everybody in this room works hard on that kind of, that's volunteer work, essentially, that we're doing for victims mm-hmm. of the future.
For victims of the future. That's why, you know, being a member of this trial association is so important. And the best of the best are members of this association, because like you said earlier, Joe, you know, change happens in the courtroom, but it also happens with these associations where the trial attorneys are bringing, you know, we're there to show the court hey, this is what's happening on the ground. You know, this is how it comes down, trickles, how these laws trickle down and how it's affecting people practically, like the everyday people that are listening to the show right
well,
now.
Well, it's certainly, I remember years ago, I got called into a medical group, okay? I knew one of the doctors. They knew I did, that I work with the labor movement. And I'll never forget it. This was somewhat of a shock, but it was a nice group of doctors, and they had an organization. I won't name an organization, but they put it together for patients' rights, okay? And they were trying to go to see a state rep, okay? I'm from labor, so, I mean, if you're calling a state rep, you know, you need that state rep. But, I mean, we're trying to get in the governor's office. The state rep is very important to us as a whole and a whole group, but, you know, they couldn't get in, okay? And I'm like, you know, how long has been doing this? You know, have you organized before? And it had to do with medications. It was when they were stopping physicians from being able to prescribe or, you know, to have pharmacy in their office or something. It was a decade ago, but they couldn't do it. Okay, they were not getting any respect from the politicians. It's great to see, obviously, the depth of what the trial lawyers, you know, have done and are so passionate about what you're doing. You're politically active because they say this. Here's a saying we have in labor. I'm sure you guys have heard it. If you're not at the table, you're usually on the menu. Mm-hmm.
That's
okay,
right.
You know, and so, you know, it's certainly I mean, it's really good stuff. When will that case come to fruition, you think?
Well, they just requested an extension of time to submit briefs, so I
just tell them.
Spent a long time writing the brief, but they just got the extension. I don't expect the decision to come out until probably late summer.
Okay, well, have Vasile give them a call and say, yeah, you're not getting it. The time's up. We want the answer on Friday. You're out.
Well, when I'm there on Wednesday arguing my case, I'll remind them about the next one.
That's right. We want an answer Friday. I'll give that. My relationship on the, you know, up there in Harrisburg, I call myself. it's definitely a fascinating conversation, and it just goes to show why and the need, because guess what? If you're not doing it, the insurance lobby is doing it.
They sure are.
And they're up there doing it. And by the way, it's the same with us. I mean, if you're not fighting for your clients and your industry, it reminds me of Jersey Work Comp. Okay, where were they when they, you know, where who was sleeping on the job when they were talking about medical, okay, and controlling the matter? We have some really, really good Jersey Work Comp firms and I, you know, that are in our network, right, and do talk radio with us. And, man, they changed my whole entire perspective of it, okay, of medical. But the truth is, you know, we used to have a saying on the Walt Whitman Bridge when I was an iron worker on it, okay?
crawl to the other side.
Yeah, you get injured on the Jersey side, crawl to the PA side. Then I had a couple.
Basil has one of those clients, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you do.
He got injured on the correct side, though, right?
That's, right. Yeah. Well,
he did.
Okay.
Then I had a couple attorneys from Delaware on, and so now the saying is, if you get injured on the Jersey side, crawl to PA, make a left up, go south on 95. But no, it's really important, and you know, that we're talking about this. You know, obviously, going in front of the Supreme Court is a big deal.
And honestly, like, just to bounce off of what you said, okay, you just said New Jersey is a complete, just for the listeners to understand what Joe was trying to say. New Jersey is a completely different animal when it comes to workers' comp, and Mark and Vez can tell you that. It's completely different. There is a reason why Pennsylvania still is looked at as, if not the most favorable, one of the most favorable states in the country that favors, or at least, you know, where workers' comp laws are still, for the most part, favorable to the worker. Right. Versus every other state. And it's because of lawyers like Mark and Vaz that are fighting for your rights.
Because damn knows if everybody went out, you know, if everybody went to Hawaii for the next 3 years, when you came back, our medical would be gone.
That's right.
Okay, let's do this. We only have a few minutes left. Let's go around the horn. Contact information from our guests, if you will, Mark and Vazel.
The firm is Schmidt, Karafidis, and Rassius. We're located in Media, Pennsylvania. Our phone number is 610-892-9300, and the website is www.pahurtatwork.com.
What a domain. That is a damn domain.
Same information.
Okay. No, Vaz, I was going to say, it's the first time you're on the show. You're singing the national anthem. Alexis Crandall, if you will, Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Yes, our website is WeinermanPainandWellness.com, and then my direct number is 484-356-6666.
Fantastic. Kristen Buttle, if you will.
I just want to say thank you so much, both of you, for coming on the show. I'm so honored that my mentors were able to be here today. Take a look at StamponeLaw.com.
Fantastic. Andrea Sasso?
Same. StamponeLaw.com.
You know what? You're doing the duet with Vazel.
Vazel's it is what man. It is.
Absolutely. How much time we have? We got we got 30 seconds left. Listen, I want to thank everybody for being on the broadcast. Just awesome. Great panel. Great to have you, Vazel, on the program.
Thank you.
About time. I've been asking for, Mark's been hogging up all the damn time, but he's been repping the firm big time, so he's the best. Great to see you again. Give Nick our best.
I will. We tried to get him here today, too, but there wasn't room at the table.
There wasn't room at the table.
There's always room at the table.
Tell him he's
Nick.
On the menu this time.
Well, don't say that, because they threw me right out of here. I mean, it's just crazy. Listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Andrea and Kristen show here on WWDB Talk 860. Obviously, want to thank Alexis Crandall and of course, Mitch Zibick of Weinerman Pain and Wellness for making the show happen. Of course, Mark Schmidt and Vazel Karafidis, and of course, Rassius.
George Rassius,
who wanted to come today, but he's tied up, and literally, they wouldn't let him. There wasn't another chair, right? He's somewhere. But no, fantastic firm.
Shout out to George.
On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good week, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Woo! Yep.